Okay, here we are, the conservative hippie. I just didn't feel satisfied with episode 53. I wanted to come back in. I've got my man, Poetic Math, with me in studio. What's up, Poetic Math?
Not too much, man. Glad to be here.
All right. What I wanted to do with episode 53, and if you haven't listened to that, please stop right now. Go back, listen to episode 53. What was the title of that episode? Let's see here. It was Election Exposes Ghosts of Administration's Past and Our Current Media Landscape. What I was trying to do with that episode is kind of present the information and let people kind of come to their own conclusions. I didn't want to editorialize a lot, but I did get some feedback where people were like, hey, we wanted to know what you think about all this. And it just wasn't what I was trying to do. I thought I did editorialize in some ways, but dang it, I do have a lot to say about this. And we are in kind of crazy times. So why not? Episode 53, addendum.
Nice.
Why not? So I've got the Red Bull and Jägermeister poured. It's cocktail hour at the Conservative Hippie Podcast. And they do not sponsor me yet, but that has always been my goal since beginning. I always thought that would be really cool. I respect Red Bull so much as a content marketer. And Jägermeister is just so smooth, baby. So someday we'll be able to say we got a little bit of coin for saying drinking Red Bull and Jägermeister. But now it's just the cocktail hour. So thanks for joining me, Pomo. You are here once again to represent the listeners, those community members out there. Appreciate you so much. Let's just get into this. What did you think of episode 53?
It was good. It was good. Like you said, it was just laying out the facts. And, you know, what I felt similarly, maybe some of the other feedback that you got, that, you know, I want to hear more of your thoughts on it and a little bit of a deeper dive into a few of the things. So, you know, I actually put together a few questions, you know, that I had about it that I wanted to ask. And maybe there are some things that are on other people's minds, hopefully.
Okay, great. Well, let's let her rip, because I sometimes fall off a cliff where I don't know if I'm into batshit crazy town or if crazy town surrounds me and I'm on my own little island of sanity. I really get confused in this recently, not just recently, the last 4 years it's been like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to give you some peace of mind, we're living in crazy times right now. Like, this is crazy. I feel like there's insanity all around, and I don't know what's going on, and that's... I got some questions. Hopefully you got some answers.
Okay. But that was a good reminder, and I try to say this in my recent episodes. Forgive yourself. I forgive myself. Forgive others, because it is squirrely. It's squirrely times right now, and the fire hose of information. I talk about this all the time to try to help people feel more at ease. We've never received so much information than we're receiving right now. And within that flow of information is propaganda. On all sides, there's false information, there's lies, and then there's truth in there too. And we have to wade through it all, use our own discernment to pick out the tangible facts and try to put together this little puzzle piece of our world, of our political world, of our daily life nowadays with the global pandemic that's going on. So let's get into this. What's the first question you've got from episode 53?
It was kind of in the beginning, and we were obviously talking about the mainstream media bias toward the left. And I mean, I really just want to ask, and it makes me wonder all the time, is like, why do they lean left? You know, what's your take on why they lean so far left?
I'll chew on that a little bit.
Okay.
But it is interesting how much Trump has brought that out,
yes.
Right? So Trump wasn't even a Republican. Trump was just some dude, some billionaire who always had an opinion about everything. Some would have said back in the day, like let's say 15 years ago, he might have ran as a Democrat and people would have believed that. He's always been a little bit progressive. Now, I appreciate that later in his life, he found Jesus Christ, and those types of people gravitate towards the Republican Party. It's generally the party of get off my lawn, let me worship whatever God I want to. So why is the media so left-leaning? There are people that you listen to, the Weinsteins of the world, that would give such a better explanation. But it does seem a bit pervasive, this secular idea. And I was always conservative hippie. You know, I'm fiscally responsible and socially liberal, right? That was always a thing. Well, that secular kind of thought, you know, keep Christians, you keep your religion into your in your church, and let's leave government and religion out of it. You know, we were always strongly pushing against that, and now it's almost like secular mindset has become a religion of its own. In just something about the people that go to journalism schools, because let's keep in mind that it's not like there's a lot of entrepreneurial characters that like get good grades in high school and go off to Columbia to become a journalist. You know, this is a lot of family, people that come from wealth, people that come from good families. Maybe they've got something in their family that precludes them towards that lifestyle, or they have ins in that way. And so maybe there's a particular mindset that they've all kind of bought into. What's stark to me is that switch, and you might have some words on this that kind of help me understand, is where the Democrats have kind of branded being a good person. And it may not have anything to do with what they're actually doing in policy or who they actually are as people. But in a lot of ways, they've been able to brand themselves as being the righteous, being the good people. We care about the world. We care about people's health. And that's become a bit pervasive. And how Donald Trump exposed that is the vitriol and hate that came about from these supposed open-minded people. We're more open-minded than you. We are more inclusive. We don't have all these things. Well, as soon as Trump came about, all of a sudden, all these words and all this hate and this vitriol, like when Hillary Clinton said these basket of deplorables, you know, and it's almost stepped up from calling the middle of the country flyover states to now deplorable people, people without value. I'm dancing around this to your first question of the why.
Yeah.
The why, it's groupthink. So your college professors, your editors, your people in charge, and we might as well get into the weeds, because episode 53 talked about a lot of batshit crazy stuff. Right. You want to talk about hammer and scorecard, right. And we're talking about CIA type supercomputers that John Brennan and Clapper all commandeered during hijacked. The Obama administration. Okay. So what about Project Mockingbird? Let's talk about this for a second, because the other strange thing is, now you're talking about journalists. And this is a huge umbrella, right? So let's just talk about the cream of the crop. Let's talk about the people that are writing in the news, getting published in the prominent newspapers, your New York Times, your Washington Post. Okay, let's talk about the people that are on television, your CNN, your MSNBC. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped and said, wow, there's a lot of former CIA people in the media?
I wouldn't be aware of that, so I have not stopped myself and ask that. I know that you've done a lot more research on this, obviously, than I have.
It's awfully strange when you get former intelligence officials that then go into the media. It's also awfully strange that journalists traveling abroad, that happens to be a very good cover for somebody who might be collecting information for intelligence agencies. And you get this whole kind of cross-pollination, if you will. The WikiLeaks emails that came out, they were never promoted by the media. It was always covered up. And so everybody sought the how. How did these emails come public instead of what? what is in these emails. And the reason for that was because there were damning, huge indictments of media members where they were sycophants to the intelligence community, to the Democratic Party apparatchik. And, you know, I was just reading one today, this amorphous archive done by this fellow down in Arizona who's currently jailed, Austin Steinbart, right? The guy who claims to be on the Q team. And there was an email in the Podesta leaks where a guy who worked for what's the name of the company? It's one of the software companies for the voting machines, and they're talking about really making these things hum, and they're going to a concert with George Soros the next day. And, you know, blatant proof of collusion between institutions like journalism, where you'd think independence. You know, when I think of journalism, I like to use Glenn Greenwald as a good example, because he assisted and was chosen by Snowden to kind of release Snowden's information, right? Some would regard this as wildly patriotic. You know, it exposed secrets of the NSA. They're actually spying on everyone. I believe it was James Clapper that sat in Congress and lied to Congress and said, no, we're not spying on, we're not collecting data on every American. And he's a far left liberal. And it's a good reminder that there's nothing wrong with being a far left liberal. Right, because in the base of that belief is patriotism and civil rights. Okay, then we can all argue about how we govern ourselves in the middle. And you're right to ask the question on the why, because this new journalistic class and this media that is out right now seems to be so in favor of what I would say is the establishment. They think they're fighting Trump, but Trump is clearly fighting the establishment as well. So really, they're just mouthpieces for this corrupt bureaucratic class. And the way that they kind of commingle and intertwine, where they, you know, it's like whenever you've talked about corruption in government, a lot of times people talk about lobbying. And they go, a guy goes from Congress, gets a great job in the private sector. What does that mean, private sector? Oh, he's going to work for a lobbying firm, or go work for Lockheed Martin lobbying Congress, where he used to work. It's kind of the same way almost in journalism, where they just kind of have this rotating, there's this commingling of jobs. And or book deals and who gets what, and you have to kind of play to get paid. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because what we really need is independence from our journalism sources. And it seems like the structure is so built and entwined with the foundational structure of the corruption right now. So they're all trying to get paid. There's big institutions, they want influence, and they're making money, and they've got shareholders. And so much pressure is then put upon them to now commingle with our bureaucratic class. And next thing you know, Hillary Clinton needs some let's use the correct terms, not Hillary Clinton, but her henchmen like John Podesta reaches out to a reporter and they need a story planted. Well, you know, they get something for that. So next time there's an interview that needs to happen, that reporter gets that. And I think that that's always been the case, this kind of quid pro quo within journalism. But at the same time, there was always an independence. There was always a newsroom that maintained independence from the paid section of, let's say, a newspaper. I think right now we've gone so far past that. We're so far beyond in decades of time, and with the online and the clicks, that everything's at the master of the pay for clicks, and somehow the whole system's been corrupted.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the whole idea of having a free press and the ability to, there was almost supposed to be like a watchdog on the government, right? That was the original intention that was set out by, like, you know, I don't know, the founding fathers or whoever, like, decided that that was going to be okay to do, is to, like, be able to call out corruption. And now we've seen it. Again, I'm just asking. I'm not even saying I necessarily, you know that. I mean, I had kind of come up with a binary answer in a way in my mind, is either they're right and they're, you know, or they're corrupt. It's one of the two, you know, either they're accurately, you know, describing reality for us and that we're all supposed to just kind of like accept that and go, wow, these guys are doing a great job, and wow, I can get information from the free press and the mainstream news and all this stuff. Or it's but my doubts come in with that as soon as I say that, though, and I think about it, like, I don't know why, but I just don't trust the media. I don't trust what some corporation is going to be telling me how to live my life and how to view reality, how to view the world, and what is really going on. I don't know why. I just, maybe it's just that I like to be independent.
Well, but you've also been trained from all the times that they've lied or they've gotten it wrong, or corruption has been exposed.
That's true.
And that's one of the things with episode 53 that I kind of talked about, was there was, and I've talked about this in past podcasts, where there was never a clearing in the DNC after they lost in 2016, after all the corruption was exposed with WikiLeaks. And it was almost like that's the media's fault. The media did not hold them to account. The storyline was able to be changed from the what is in those WikiLeaks, what was in those emails, to the how. How did those come about? And they created that story. And that's how the Russian narrative came about.
Right.
Essentially, that Russian gate narrative was all to deflect and distract from Hillary Clinton's emails, from John Podesta's emails, from the DNC emails that all came out. And what came out in that was the rampant corruption within the DNC. Their leaders failed them. So look at Bernie Sanders. It was all very clear. It was laid out that Bernie Sanders got screwed. I don't know if Bernie Sanders bent over and enjoyed it, but apparently maybe that's the case, because he could have stood up and he could have taken that block of voters that he speaks to that believe in him. Let's remember, nobody has had rallies like Donald Trump except Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders had quite a following. You and I may disagree with the way that they want to govern and their view of government, but we also respect that they have real people out there that are Americans that have a vote, just like me or you, to vote for him, okay? He laid down. That allowed the DNC to just continue on, allowed that power structure to maintain their power. Nobody ever looked into the emails. So now fast forward to today, and it's gotten worse, because it worked. That Russiagate narrative worked. It bogged Donald Trump down. But instead, now to bring it back to episode 53 that we just had, and what you're talking about, how are you supposed to trust them? Because now we have recent history of guys like Adam Schiff in Congress just abjectly lying every single day, coming out and saying, well, I've seen the evidence that Trump he could be a puppet for Vladimir Putin. And he would say that on television. I may have used a funny voice and a funny accent to say that. He would say that, and he was lying. Every time when he had Senate Intelligence Committee hearings, and he would bring these people in to testify, these are administration officials, and they would come in and testify. Every single one of them said, "I have no evidence. I have no evidence that this is the case." And then it would show them going on television on CNN and MSNBC, going on television and saying the complete opposite, that they've seen evidence and they've heard, and there's very troubling facts, right? They would use all these terms. How are we supposed to trust the media? Because they didn't get flushed out. Nobody got... Rachel Maddow still has a show. It's very popular on MSNBC. She was wrong for 4 years, gaslit in her entire viewership. And yet, she still works. In what business does that occur?
Right.
Unless she's there on behalf of the establishment, she's filling a role, okay? And the role is to lie to us. So to bring it back to episode 53, here we go. The media is now saying we should all unite. Let's all unite, and gosh darn it, you guys need to be better sports. You guys lost the election. Come on, guys. You need to get with this. Joe Biden's the next president. He's going to be great. Why don't you guys just come on aboard, calm down, admit you lost, and come on in. And by the way, we're going to have a press conference. It's going to say President-elect Joe Biden. He's going to talk. We're all going to refer to him. Every news organization, because the AP says so, the Associated Press says so, we're going to refer to him as the president-elect. And they keep throwing these narratives out where, you know, like, for example, the NPR article that I chose to highlight in the episode 53, where they're just like saying, you know, and you can read any article, yahoo.com, any article, where they always say, whenever Trump says something about the election, they say, but that's clearly not true, or he's exaggerating, or he's lying. They make it seem like he's lying, but they are.
Right.
They're lying, and they're proven liars. So what we have to do, in my opinion, you know, it's why I do my podcast, it's why I try to speak out, and I try to have calm conversations with neighbors and coworkers and family members, is we have to try to find a way to wake them up. Because if you're just reading headlines, or you're getting... just insidiously, you're being programmed by those little subtle words in that NPR article. I almost want to pull it up again just to remind us of what it said. That NPR article is so savage in how subtle it was.
That actually is a perfect segue to my next question, because you're talking about the media and how they, you know, it's nothing but lies, and it's all this surface stories that people just believe. And I know that you've done a lot of research, and you put a lot of work and effort into all these stories and different sources that are nowhere near the mainstream media. But like, what I want to know is, where do people go? Where would you recommend? Like, is it websites? Is it certain individuals? Like, where would you want to go to be able to learn to dig deeper and start getting into some of this information?
It's not okay. They're not all lies, right? And if you just put on your common sense hat when you're reading things, like, for example, I want to go back to that NPR article, because the NPR article had a headline. And then there were these sentences that said, you know, bar a Trump loyalist. Like, if you're a common sense person trying to seek objective facts, that should go ding, 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 ding. Okay, I'm going to ignore that. That's somebody saying something. He's the Attorney General of the United States. He works at the pleasure of the president. Yes, of course, he's a loyalist, right? And then they quote him. And the quote is far more reasonable than the headline. So what I'm saying is it's not all lies. You have to... you put on your objective thinking cap and seek a varied amount of information and read between the lines. So, like, when, as soon as I saw the, oh, a Trump loyalist, and, you know, and then they finish it off by saying it's actually not true, the election's over. You know, they pretty much said something like that. It's like, okay, so then you, and I know you like to go to the Google map, right? Same type of thing. You can go to the Google map, the Electoral College map on Google. It's a great little tool. I love it. We can check up on where the votes are. And you can look at Wisconsin. And I think Wisconsin is like less than 20,000 votes. So then you can say to yourself, okay, it's less than 20,000 votes. I've heard they're going to have a recount. Search Wisconsin recount. And no, okay, that's not solved. So now you go to Georgia. Oh, Georgia. oh, that's like less than 15,000 votes. And I've heard they're doing a hand recount there. Okay, so that's not solved. So then you go to Arizona, and again, forget about whether they've called these states or not. Then you go to Arizona, and you hear that there's 10,000 voters that that might have voted illegally, and you know, you buzz around and you catch all these states, and maybe you read an article that says Trump can't catch up, it's impossible. But then you go and you look at the lawsuits maybe that they've filed and the claims that they've made, and you're like, oh, Arizona's within, I think it's 15,000 votes. It's like there could be a recount there. Now you go to Pennsylvania. What I'm trying to say is this race is so close on paper in the Google map that it's clearly not over just at face value, right? Now you have to start to unwind things. Now, what sources of information? You know, that was your question, right? Where to go?
Right.
Well, I think you need to go. I've embraced the fire hose, and at sometimes it drives me a bit crazy. But you do have to seek different sources. You have to turn on CNN and see what they're saying. You have to turn on Fox News. A guy I really like a lot, sometimes he covers more cultural stuff that I don't really care for. You know, just this whole black-white, Black Lives Matter, transgender issues. You know, to me, that's a lot of cultural noise that gets settled out between you, me, neighbors. You know, that's something that we decide as people what our culture is. We don't need the media to tell us cultural issues. But Tucker Carlson is a great one. He's got a little smart-ass tone, and sometimes he speaks truth to power. Go and watch your Rachel Maddow, but you have to know, you have to pay attention. So, because what bothers me is these people that were lied to for 4 years about Russiagate, they still go back to the trough at the next story. What makes you think the next story, whether it's impeachment, which was a complete hoax? Okay, they didn't impeach President Trump on anything real. They just did it because they had enough votes. That's it. They just had a Democratic majority and could impeach him and wanted to impeach him. They actually released the transcripts of that call. And if you go back and you look at the call, what you really should be asking about is what is CrowdStrike and what servers is President Trump talking about? It had nothing to do with putting pressure on prosecuting Joe Biden, okay? If you go and look, I think I just saw a audio call was released of Joe Biden back when he was vice president, when President Trump was president-elect, and Joe Biden was having a conversation with the prime minister of Ukraine, they actually released that call. And he's pressuring him to get the money through because Trump will screw things up when he becomes president. And they're trying to make sure that everything gets wound up and finished before Trump gets in there because he'll see the corruption. The corruption is so blatant and obvious. Well, we don't even need the Hunter Biden laptop. Joe Biden has told us all about it throughout his career. I love that phrase when he says he has the largest voter fraud, largest and most inclusive voter fraud network in the history of politics. Some phrase like that I used in episode 53. So if you're not seeing these things, then you need to look somewhere else. I mean, it strikes me that if somebody's listening to the Conservative Hippie podcast, they're seeking alternative forms of information and media. But at the same time, I do have a lot of people that listen to the podcast that voted for Joe Biden. So maybe they need to try a little harder in their digging.
Well, that was kind of my question, is that, you know, you're saying, like, you know, when I was asking where to dig, you know, because you've shown me things and you know, even in episode 53, there was the stuff that you came, what was the website with the lady and the general that were talking about the hammer?
Yes, it was the, not the Vote Integrity Project. Where is that? The American Report.
Yeah. Like, how did you find that? That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You have these independent, random, you know, obscure sources of stuff. you know, like what I'm just saying is like, if you obviously have a talent and a knack to be able to like read between the lines, as you said, and not everybody necessarily has that skill. So I think what's important is if you can kind of direct some people to some good, credible sources, because we know there's a lot of stuff out there that's not true, that are people making up stuff to kind of, in a weird psyop, to throw people off the trail.
Here's why I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Because I don't want to just send you to the Federalist, right? I don't want to send you to antiwar.com. I don't want to send you to The Intercept. I don't want to send you to The Hill. I don't want to just send you to John Solomon, right? You have to consume enough to where you can see when the Federalist might be giving a kind of a slanted take on things, right? A little slanted libertarian take on things that, I don't want to say it's propaganda, but their own biases might be coming through. It's almost like there is no unbiased news source that exists. It doesn't exist. So you have to try to find a balance, and you have to try to seek some truth tellers who are objective. And then you might find somebody like Matt Taibbi, who wrote for Rolling Stone. You know, he's kind of a famous writer. Now his personal politics are a bit left, but again, he's slanted with the civil rights side of things, and when he sees bullshit, he calls bullshit.
Totally.
But I'm not to say you believe everything Matt Taibbi says, and when he editorializes, there's going to be a left-leaning slant. And so it's just only natural that they don't like Trump. For the same respect, John Solomon. I love John Solomon. John Solomon was number one. He's the first one who got me informed on Russiagate. He was early. He's the earliest one I know about. A lot of people claim to be early on Russiagate. And I keep saying Russiagate, even though it's Spygate is what in reality it was and what it has become. He was so early. But John Solomon, he might have some bias that comes out now in his reporting nowadays. It's almost like you just can't stick with these horses. You have to watch all the horses in the field. You have to watch their gait. You have to consume it. But the number one thing is, if you can't do all that, you can't just take this fire hose of information on, which I understand it has brought so much more stress to my life than I need, you then have to temper down your headline reading. Because I tell you what, the thing that makes me mad, it's a really small thing, it's very small, but I've been a Yahoo consumer since the internet, since they first came aboard. So we're talking in the 90s, okay? I was on board with Yahoo! You know, I have a Yahoo email address. I think I might have two Yahoo email addresses, all right? They were my home. They've been my home page for most of my internet life, most of my adult life. Yahoo is my page, not Google. Yahoo. They have become one of the most biased, just garbage rags of a home page of anything that I consume, and it kind of drives me crazy, because no matter what, you ever hear Trump talk about, if he does something great, like we're going to pull troops out of Afghanistan, on Yahoo, there will be some article that turns his sweet cream into sourpuss. You know, it is awful the way that they report. So maybe if the thing is maybe if you have a proclivity to TDS, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, and you know that, you know, you really need to look in the mirror and say, okay, maybe I'm being affected by this headline reading like Jay's talking about, or the subtlety of the NPR sabotaging a decent quote where Barr talks about perfectly objective, we're going to seek fraud if fraud is tangible and expansive to where it could change an election. They're not going out hunting, right, for the little guy. They're not on some crazy fishing expedition. But at the same time, if you follow Jussie Smollett, and you go back and you got news sources from people that said that was a terrible incident, and then they didn't report on the fact that it was a hoax, they didn't apologize, and they didn't seek truth after their reporting. You have to see that. You have to see that and say to yourself, wow, I need to take this reporting with a grain of salt. What's the other one that was really big? I mean, we got Russia Gate, we got impeachment. I mean, if any...
It's all of it.
What's disgusting right now is I've always considered myself middle of the road. I'm just as likely to vote for a Democrat as I am for a Republican. I see what I would consider evil on both sides. I see problems on both sides, okay? In this point in my life, when I voted for Trump, and you can go back to the podcast in 2015, 2016, I was a Trump defender. And what I said was I wanted an outsider. I wanted to throw a grenade into this system because it was absolutely wrong that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. It was wrong when she became a senator from New York. It was wrong when she became a political the candidate of the Democratic National Committee. It was so obvious that corruption was just the path that they were taking to power, okay? Since that time, the actions of a lot of Democrats are just disgusting. It's crazy where they want unity, but Maxine Waters is literally out there urging crowds to go get in people's faces. We're talking about a libertarian in Rand Paul who got tackled off his lawnmower with ribs broken and a punctured lung. We're talking about Steve Scalise. I hope I'm getting Steve Scalise's name right, who was shot on the softball pitch by a deranged Bernie supporter.
You mentioned it. There was a soundbite you played in episode 53 as well about, like, that, you know, not only do we have to get rid of Trump, but, you know, anybody that was his enablers, you know, we got to get them too, because if we don't, they're going to come back, you know. And it's like, oh, that's a real good message of unity right there.
Yeah. And it's
like they're talking out, you know, both sides of their head.
And it's weird because we want people to understand truth, and the truth doesn't have feelings. It's not like when people are coming out and saying, oh, you know, all Black Lives Matter, and, you know, there's systemic racism. It's like, okay, I got you. I got your feelings, and we can talk about that. And I do see some truth in what you're saying. We're just talking about, we want people to see facts, truth. You know, did Donald Trump collude with Russians? No. As a matter of fact, we've now discovered it's actually the opposite. And it was all a setup created by Russian Ukrainians as the subsourcing to the Steele dossier that was fed through in a corrupt manner through the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA. And, oh, by the way, why doesn't the head of the CIA right now want to release transparent information about Russiagate? Because it could hurt our friends. Because our friends spied on a president, a political campaign. It's, the whole thing is disgusting, but if it doesn't come out, then all we have is corruption in our future. You know, and that's why a lot of people like myself that considered myself a middler, right, middle of the road, have taken this right stance, if you want to call it far right. You know, I'm a Donald Trump supporter because it is exposing, the lights have come on and the cockroaches are scrambling. And I like that. I want to keep the lights on. Oh, man. All right. I have an answer to your question. They need to get on Twitter right now, start an account, and follow me at JFrat on Twitter. I put enough stuff in the feed, good, bad, indifferent. They'll find some information in there. And you know what's nice about Twitter? They will then find all these rabbit holes to go down and start to use their own discernment, because there is so much information out there.
That's a good idea.
So much information.
It's all about digging a little deeper. Question. All right, my next one I got for you is, okay, so we got this crazy confusion of the election results right now. Nothing's been decided yet, but what are we supposed to believe as far as in regards to the fraud, what's real, what's not, what, you know, I hear so many stories of different examples of the fraud. I mean, are we just supposed to kind of sit back and wait? We know we can't really trust the media to tell us what's really going on because their claim is there's no fraud, but yet there's all these stories that are surfacing out there from the software with Dominion, dead people voting, the watermark on this stuff, hammer, scorecard, votes taken away, votes switched, you know, on and on and on. You know, like, what's your take? Like, what's something concrete that you think, it just maybe a little crystal ball prediction as to like what's going to actually end up sticking if there is? Do you want to answer that question? You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm curious.
Okay, I've got a good answer, but first I want to play a soundbite again, and this is kind of, I'm glad you asked that, because this is where I felt I was a little shy in episode 53. I'm not going to be shy in the cocktail hour addendum.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Jesus. I mean, come on, man. He just lays it all out right there. Right there, sleepy Joe Biden tells the world what he did. Oh, and by the way, gives a pat on the back to Barack Obama by mentioning that they did it in the previous administration as well. So to your question, okay, let's just start. There was a full blitz on this election of shady shit. Every type of shady shit that you can do in an election, they did. So you've got ballot harvesting. You've got dead people voting. So you've got people signed up that shouldn't be signed up and voting. You've got some software shenanigans. You've got it all. And if you don't believe me, folks, just look before the election. You can see it clear as day. You want to say, "Oh, Joe didn't mean that. What did he mean? What organization did he build? But besides one of the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organizations, and I've got the goods right here in Dallas in September. People were busted for ballot harvesting. It involved a senator in Houston, I think a state senator, the Harris County commissioner, and then some dude named Dallas Jones, a political operative overseeing Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's Harris County operation. Later on, it described Jones as the head of their Texas. So you don't get to that position as this operative, right, working for Joe Biden, unless you're kind of big in the campaign. Texas is a big state. Houston is a giant city. So this guy was busted by the FBI in Texas. They were ballot harvesting. So what were they doing? Tell me if you've heard this one from any news results. They were sending voter ballots to nursing homes. They were going and collecting them, and then they were forging signatures and filling the ballots out. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I've heard about this not just in Texas, but other states as well.
Michigan.
Mail-in ballots going to nursing homes that never showed up for those poor old people in their convalescent homes and their live-in care facilities because they were collected by these Democratic operatives. And what they did was they actually had people in the clerk's office. So they knew where to go. They knew when to go. They would go get these ballots, and then they would fill them out for them and forge their signatures. That's why it's so important right now that we have these audits and that the ballots are checked. Signature verification. Now let's throw another one onto the fire, all right? So in a lot of these states, Arizona in particular, they turned down the signature matching feature in the software. So it's all got like calibration, right? Mm-hmm. You can turn it up if you want to really match that signature to every loop in an L or a J, and you can turn it down. So it gives you a little bit of fudge room, right? They had it turned down in a lot of these states. The problem is that they've weaponized all of these citizens. Trump actually said in one of his speeches, he was talking about Bill Barr and how Bill Barr is such a great guy. He doesn't want to hurt anybody and he doesn't want to ruin anybody's family. And he talks about the voter fraud, the mail-in voter fraud, and he says that well-meaning people and good people are cheating because it's just that easy. So he's almost given this like understanding that people who would normally make good decisions are making bad decisions and creating illegal behavior. I want to take it one step further in the fact that the Democratic Party has ramped everybody up so high. I mean, just today, just coming across my newsfeed were stories about Christiane Amanpour on CNN basically comparing Trump to Hitler. Again, they're still doing this. They're giving you this gaslighting that we are on the verge of Nazi Germany with Donald Trump. The most transparent and patriotic president that I've had in my lifetime, no new wars, only wants to help America, wants to bring manufacturing back, wants to stop funding the expansion of China. And they've just gaslit so many people. So now they've got all these people out there in all of these states, this organization that Joe Biden literally talked about, and they're doing shady stuff. Just in Pennsylvania, you know about how the person who's in charge of the election commission, they changed a bunch of rules, and then the judiciary changed a bunch of rules. Well, in their state constitution, only lawmakers, you know, representatives of the people, can make election law. So I mean, that's a big one that Trump's going to be talking about. So to answer your question, there was a multi-pronged approach to the theft of this election. I think it's very, very clear at this point. And now the media is trying to just pass it all by. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. Oh, that's like Joe Biden forcing a Ukrainian prosecutor out. Oh, that's been unproven, even though he's on tape bragging about it. Don't look over there. So there's a multi-pronged approach. Now there's going to have to be a multi-pronged approach to shine light on what has happened. And so that's where you see the trouble that I get into when I'm taking in this fire hose of information is I see a lot of information that's like, oh, they're not going to look into that in this state because there's not enough votes to flip. What I want to tell people is there is so much bad information out there. Some people would like you to think that the election is over and that Joe Biden is the president-elect because the AP called it for all these states. It's not. There's litigation going on. And I don't care if somebody says, oh, Trump lost this and lost that. Just go and look at how close Wisconsin is. Look at how close Georgia is. Look at how close Michigan was. Look at how close Pennsylvania was. Why do I say was on those two? Because there were 4 a.m. dumps that are statistically impossible of over 100,000 voters that all voted for Joe Biden. What does that sound like? That sounds like some cars came in with out-of-state plates. Oh yeah, that's been talked about, eyewitnesses, affidavits, and on camera, bringing those ballots in at 4 a.m., right? Investigation has to happen. So there's going to have to be a multi-pronged investigation. Now, let's talk about this software glitches. Now, what's weird to me is everybody can talk about Dominion, but they can't talk about the hammer and the scorecard. And I think that there's a lot of national security issues with that. I'm not quite sure, but for example, there was a commentator that wanted to go on Fox News, and they said to them that they couldn't talk about hammer and scorecard.
Puts you in an Alex Jones kind of category.
I guess so, but they can talk about Dominion. So I'm in so deep. I'm talking about hammer and scorecard, and I'm so curious about what this General McInerney was saying in episode 53, and I thought that was the most important part. People can complain to me about my podcast that I put it at the end. I should put it at the beginning. But damn it, sometimes you got to get through me telling a story before I get to the goods. So here in the cocktail hour, we're just going to be flying off the cuff. But anyway, so I don't have a prediction per se. I keep talking about holding the line. What nobody knows about is I actually started tearing up in my episode towards the end when I started talking about holding the line. I feel such a sense of patriotism and such strong core beliefs in everything that I've learned in my life and everything that I've seen in politics and all of this middling, and I'm so proud I never voted for George Bush. I have so much conviction in President Trump winning and Joe Biden losing. If Joe Biden wins, it would destroy my worldview. I have a friend who voted for Joe Biden, and we talk a lot, and we're good friends. I love the guy, and he loves me, and he called me up, and he said, you know, I just want to make sure you're okay. I just want to make sure you're okay, because I know that you've got a lot invested in this, and he knows he's a low-information voter. I don't want to insult him by saying that to his face. I've probably said it enough on my podcast, and he has his reasons, just like one of my employees, a wonderful young lady that I hold in the highest regard. She couldn't vote for Donald Trump, and my lady, my life partner, she didn't want to vote for Donald Trump. They have their issues as women, which I can understand from the whole grab 'em by the pussy tape that came out. You know, it's tough when us guys all talk in the locker room and behind the scenes, and they have no idea what we're saying, and then somebody gets busted on tape saying some gross shit, right?
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that. There's a lot of understandings you can make in certain things. But when I say about the general country, and you look at the enthusiasm and the outward support that came out for Donald Trump, unlike anything I've ever seen, and then you have this guy who's proven to be corrupt, and enough people know it that they've told their neighbors, and then he goes on camera and he stumbles with his words and he says a lot of weird things and he can't keep anything straight, and then you watch the second debate and Donald Trump absolutely, from any objective standpoint, trounces him. And then you've got the Hunter Biden laptop that comes out that further cements a lot of those corruption allegations from their family. Meanwhile, he's got six people in a gymnasium at his rallies. Meanwhile, he's talking about locking the country down, and most people don't want to be locked down again in this pandemic living. You tell me, how did that guy get more votes than Barack Obama in 2008 after 8 shitty years of George Bush? This awesome dude came along with hopes and dreams, and we all bought into it. He turned people out crazy. Only Trump nowadays compares to the way Barack Obama brought people out in 2008, all right? You're telling me Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama in 2008?
It'd be hard to believe, hard to believe. My concern is just is the media aspect of this all, though, right? Because, like, I'm listening to you talk, and I'm hearing everything you're saying, and it all makes a lot of sense, and that's certainly a perspective. But then you have this narrative and this perspective that's being broadcast and marketed to the masses on a literally 24/7 channels on social media.
But that doesn't matter. We have to remember facts and feelings. And I want to remember, marketed to the masses through all of these channels was Donald Trump had a collusion problem with the Russians, okay?
But it's bigger than that. He's also Hitler. And the thing is that you've got a certain percentage of the country and the people thinking that literally believing the media and what they're telling them about this, that this man is the second coming of Hitler. Meanwhile, you have other people who feel extremely patriotic. You said you were almost brought to tears in your last podcast doing this, feeling so passionately and so strongly about this. What scares me, just looking at the world and outwardly, like what you said about the worldview, is that I see this dichotomy of completely polar opposite viewpoints on this person. And I don't know where this is going to go. Are we going to be led to a place where we literally have like a Venezuela situation where we have two different kinds of presidents, like that people believe are the rightful president? And like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm like I said, when we started this, I was like, it is chaos. This is crazy. That's the way I'm feeling right now. And I want some peace of mind knowing that we're going to be able to come together and agree. And I think one of the most important things you said in the last podcast was at the very end was the voter integrity project, or the vote integrity project. Because we need to be able to feel, regardless, that this was a legitimate election, whether that's Biden or Trump. I'm going to say it like that. If we can all have the information and have a transparency where we feel that it was correct, that it was right, regardless of who wins, we've got to get behind that somehow. And I just don't know where that goes.
Okay, there's a lot of different outcomes, and that's why I don't want to get behind predictions and things like that. But you said a lot there. Let me try to spit a few things out. So it's a multi-pronged approach to unwind the fraud that was perpetrated, okay? So whether we're talking about, in all of them, dead people, we're talking about people that shouldn't have voted that voted, talking about the software glitches, we're talking about the ballot harvesting and the ballot dumps in Pennsylvania. There will be legal challenges. There will be recounts. It's possible that Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia is going to end up going to Donald Trump. Then I want to give what you're worried about a little bit I want to fan those flames a little bit, because it's going to be very easy for the narrative to be when Trump gets 600,000 to 700,000 ballots thrown out in Pennsylvania and he wins Pennsylvania. When that happens, the narrative will easily be that he's taking people's right to vote away.
Right.
Okay, there's a lot of different ways that could go about this. The one way that scares me that I'm kind of looking at with side eyes, you mentioned Venezuela, right? All of a sudden, recently, it's come out that Dominion, the company that's in charge of the voting machines, that actually came from Venezuelan investors or creators back in the day. It's done, and it's a Canadian company. And then, oh, by the way, they've got their servers in Germany, and they route through. It's become such a mess that I'm worried that instead of Democratic operatives that are going to be to blame, like let's just say for a second I'm not all right with Trump. Trump definitely has a problem with Iran. Trump definitely has a problem with China, right? Definitely has a problem with Venezuela. What if all of a sudden Trump picks out and his team pick out a boogeyman to blame for the election fraud? And it's not Democratic operatives that we blame, where we look to arrest and punish American citizens, but now we pick out a sovereign country that has supposedly hacked our election. Remember, everybody needs to remember for one second, 4 years ago, the Democrats were saying this was an illegitimate election because of a foreign hack. But now they're saying that our elections are perfectly legitimate, even though we've never done vote by mail in this mass kind of mailing way that makes it so easy to ballot harvest, okay? Where did the ballots come from in Wisconsin at 4 a.m.? Where did the ballots come from in Michigan at 4 a.m.? Where did the ballots come from in Pennsylvania at 4 a.m.? If I'm wrong, that's why I love that voter integrity project, because they're looking into a lot of the data. They're digging deep. They're digging deep into the data. What I will tell you is they're coming up with a lot of questions, a lot of questions that now that they've raised the money that they're in. And a little bit of sidebar, in the cocktail hour, I can announce I was pleading with people to go and contribute to this guy's Vote Integrity project. I turned on Twitter after the episode. He reached his goal. So they have enough money that they think that they can pay the call centers and they can make these calls and make these investigations to start to get some answers. And that's going to be coming out in the next few days. So that's when I say hold the line, hold the line. Don't give in to the mainstream media narrative that, Biden is the president-elect, because it's not factually accurate. It's just a feeling. It's just the AP has projected it. It hasn't actually come true. You mentioned something that is kind of the underlying largest concern. And I've said this to a lot of people, that I'm worried if Trump loses, I'm worried about the people that I see out there that are proud patriots, that are fully bought in further than myself on Trump and how much he's helping the country and how corrupt Biden is and how corrupt the Democratic National Committee establishment is, that I'm worried also about what will happen if Biden is president. I'll give you some facts, though. 100%, if Biden is president, we will have almost the same situation we had 4 years ago, except for there is enough evidence to prosecute. I'm telling you, Joe Biden is dead on arrival as president of the United States of America. There were so many shenanigans in Ukraine, and we've already got all the evidence. Ukraine's already, they've already released all the evidence. It's all there. It's all there. It's already a done deal. The deals in China, the laptop from hell that that Hunter Biden left at some computer repair shop, this Bobulinski guy that's a fact witness and a whistleblower. I'm telling you.
Gosh, it would be really convenient if he couldn't serve anymore as the president and just had to like disappear. That would be crazy too.
Well, what's concerning, and a lot of people like myself think, you know, Biden isn't really who Biden used to be. This blue dog Democrat. I mean, what's so funny is some of his biggest and most powerful moments is when he created the third strike rule and increased the chances and likelihood of incarceration for inner city folks, right? People on the fringes of society. That's kind of his most powerful moments in the Senate. It's in the 90s when he clamped down on crime, right, if you will. And I can't even repeat some of the things that he said because they were so disgusting. I mean, that's how you know you've got low-information voters voting for Biden, is they can't even go back to the 90s and see the evidence of him talking about super predators and talking about how he doesn't want kids bust to his kids' school because he doesn't want his kids being thrown into a racial jungle. I mean, just disgusting things that he said. He's given enough evidence nowadays. I mean, I don't want to relitigate Trump versus Biden, but there is concern there for, you know, for 4 years, we had a bunch of anti-gun, soft socialist lefties, right, that don't own guns. They were the hashtag resistance. They were little keyboard warriors. Let me tell you about the warriors that are supporting President Trump. I mean, what could happen in this country? It does get a little scary if you want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, though, is they're not a strike first mentality, though, most of those people, you know, they're a defend, you know, conservatives don't go on the attack, they conserve, right? I mean, they're going to be more of like, they'll defend themselves, but they're not looking to go on the attack like you would see with like an Antifa group that's looking to cause change, right? Yeah. So it's I think it's a different mentality. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on.
Well,
I'm still like, I don't know what is happening. And I mean, I watched a video today. It freaked me out. It was a thing from, I don't know, 5-6 years ago or something, of Lindsey Graham getting teared up talking about how good of a person Joe Biden was, though. And that's crazy to me, right? Like, I just, honestly, I don't know what to believe anymore. And I'm just literally like watching the show going, I don't know. And I don't know how to, like, I don't know how much to be engaged and fully into it or detached. And I waffle back and forth between, like, no, I'm just going to, like, focus on my life and what I'm doing and the things in my immediate vicinity versus I can't control, you know, and I can't control any of this stuff. So I just need to, like, but at the same time, I'm curious and I want to know, and I want to know the truth.
Yeah. I mean, well, we all do, don't we? By the way, I think Tara Reid should give Lindsey Graham a call, or Lindsey Graham should give Tara Reid a call if he wants to know about Joe Biden's character. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Tara Reid is, you should immediately search Tara Reid. Maybe throw Joe Biden in there as well. You'll probably get the right article. It's a scary point, and it's a good logical. I'm taking this fire hose on, right? I'm just taking it on, and it's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. Some people, we are powerless. We are powerless to affect anything. You know, I don't know what going and standing outside of the Maricopa election facility with Alex Jones in Arizona is going to do. Okay, I don't know what getting on my keyboard and typing on Twitter and getting my digital soldier friends riled up about facts and truth is going to do. At some point, we do have to acknowledge we are powerless. One thing that I think has been very powerful that's been said to me, and I need to do a better job of, is getting involved in my local community and the politics within my local community. Whether that's volunteering for a campaign, whether it's going to my city council meeting, whether it's volunteering for some government organization, some charitable organization, but getting involved in your local community so that you see your neighbors and that more people with this common sense approach to things can go and give a face. Sometimes, you know, you think, and people think that Trump supporters are just these awful individuals because of this gaslighting that they've been given
by the media.
I mean, if you want to tell the story, I know that recently you've had a conversation with somebody that didn't know your political leanings, and it kind of scared you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I it was obvious, you know, this person had really not done much other than listen to very surface, you know, mainstream media stories about Trump. I mean, they literally told me, you know, Trump was impeached because of his involvement with Russia. That was their, I was like, what? Like, I mean, that's not even factual on any level. So, you know, you think about that, it just, that threw me off so bad that somebody could, I mean, but if you think back on the whole thing, I can understand that, you know, because they're continuing with the Russian narrative to this day. And I get it. Like, people, there's so much stuff, like you said, the fire hose of information that they can't remember it all. It's just this, like, this sea of information.
But what was the line that they said to you that they couldn't understand how anybody could vote for Trump?
Right. Well, right. Because they had been so, he's been so, you know, throwing so many insults and just such a horrible, terrible person. They could never imagine that how 70 plus million people in this country could continue to vote for this person. And, you know, what I was explaining is that, you know, in fact, she was talking about a good friend that voted for Trump that was also a female. And I just was explaining that people have different value systems, and you have to be able to respect that everyone has a different value system that they place on what they see and what they're living through and how they feel about the world. And I was like, wouldn't you want them to extend the same courtesy to you that you feel so strongly against Trump? And that's fair, you know, but I guess the scary part for me was that she literally, it brought back memories of Hillary Clinton's statement of basket of deplorables to me. It was as if she was able to, just because 70 plus million people voted for Donald Trump, that they were all just this basket of deplorable people, you know, and that was just disturbing to me, that like people out there literally are thinking and feeling that way. I can respect somebody who voted for Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. We all have different value systems as to how we feel and what we place is the most important thing for us in our world. It's just like, can't we extend that same courtesy to the person that is in front of us? That's how we're going to have to get through this. We're not getting through this deal if we all just keep thinking that each of us is the devil because we voted for Trump or we voted for Biden. It can't be that way.
Yeah.
We've got to realize that we all have a different value system and how we, what we place, and that it's okay. And, you know, I kind of started to take a very compassionate perspective and feeling toward her as she spoke, because I realized that it was purely brainwashing from the media that was forming her value system. It wasn't her independently actually knowing anything, because her facts were so wrong. I mean, the fact that she told me he was impeached because of his Russian collusion right away is like, you know, I mean, that's blatantly obvious, you know? So it's like, obviously this person is just watching mainstream media, picking up sound bites, remembering a portion of that, and then regurgitating that, but really having her entire being and person opinions formed around these
sound bites.
Yeah. And that to me is like, it's so dangerous, because I mean, I don't know. I'm lost.
I think that Dan Bongino has put it the best. He says that liberals think that conservatives are bad people. Conservatives think that liberals are good people with bad ideas. And that always stuck with me, as you see now, this flip of the script, where Joe Biden is the supposed president-elect, and people are now calling for unity. Meanwhile, you've got people on television saying that everybody needs to be burned to the ground. The Republican Party needs to be burnt to the ground.
Right.
Right. When I talk about the DNC and how it needs to be blown up, I am talking about people within that party.
Yes.
Taking control, the people rising up and flushing out the corrupt establishment that holds the power in that party. I'm not talking about burning it down.
No, we need Democrats and Republicans. We need the right and the left to keep this thing going.
And that's the scary part. You know, it's a little bit inflammatory, but there are people out on social media talking about lists and talking about, we're going to remember the people that supported Trump. And there's people out there like that woman you spoke with that probably thinks that somebody who supports Trump is supporting white supremacy. Yeah. It's like one of the most inflammatory, dumb things that keeps getting repeated over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
But yet somehow they keep coming back to that well. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And I don't know how we pull out of it, to be honest. You wanted a prediction. I don't have one. But I would say, if we go back and we look before the election, John Podesta game planned this election. They war gamed the election. Hillary Clinton said it out loud in a tweet. She said, Joe Biden should not concede and do everything that they can to win this election. In John Podesta's war game, they had Donald Trump claiming victory and then Joe Biden winning in the courts or winning after all the votes are counted. There was some strange thing there that they had predicted, right? So now that Trump is in that position, the positions are juxtaposed, right? Where Biden is now the presumptive nominee declared by our media class, and Trump is challenging and wanting legal votes counted. They don't seem to have, they forget so quickly their opinions and their tacks towards these strategic political things. And I don't like it. To me, it's gross. I don't like it when the right and the left behave hypocritically without a mirror as to how they look. To me, that's gross. So I just try to boil it down to the facts. And the facts are that there is a lot of fraud out there. There's evidence of fraud out there in the election. Of course there is. We had mass mailings for the first time in our election, in our election history, and there's a lot of weird anomalies. I want that investigated.
Yeah.
And there is time, and there is recourse, and that's what we're going through.
And that's what we should have, is transparency on that.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line, is if I have no problem if we go through a investigation, it's transparent, and we understand it. I don't. And they say Biden legitimately won. I will accept that. I'll be fine with that, and I will move forward. And I think the majority of our country will as well. On the flip side, if Trump ends up being declared the winner after the investigations, the same thing. I will accept that, and I want others to accept it. I mean, again, my fear is that the media is going to prevent that from happening, though, because they've got people under their thumb, brainwashed, and it's going to be, he stole the election. Look at what he did. This is everything we've always feared. This is Hitler 2.0. He's an authoritarian. He's now stole the election. I don't know where it goes. You know, I don't know. But we can't have that. We've got to find a way to have transparency, like what you're talking about, this guy with the Vote Integrity Project and legitimate sources of people that are nonpartisan. And I think you've told me about him, is that,
yes,
is that he's,
well, he's, I believe he's worked for the Trump campaign, okay, but his project is 100% just seeking transparency, seeking auditing, seeking truth in the voting, which, I mean, again, he has said if he looks through this and Joe Biden is the one that's the winner, or he doesn't find fraud, he finds fraud on Trump's team.
Right.
Like, he's okay with any decision, kind of like the way that you're talking about being okay. I don't know where I'm at,
right,
with who wins, because I have so much wrapped up that's unresolved. So, for example, you know, when I originally decided to defend Trump and then become a Trump supporter, and I'm trying to throw that grenade into this bureaucratic system that's broken. So much of that is being left unresolved because of Spygate, because of the people that sold us out to China, sold us out to this idea of globalism. They haven't paid for their trepidation. We haven't rooted them out all the way. And then if Biden wins, they just come right back into power. This permanent bureaucratic class, this administrative state, this deep state just comes right back into power, chugging along.
I mean, that's the narrative. That's one narrative. My thing, and this is just where I come from, is that I guess I'm an optimist and I'm positive and I believe in the people of our country. I really do. And I think that we're going to figure a way to recognize something that's wrong and change it. I really do have a faith in the people of the country. I mean, there's a lot of things working against that right now. Like I recognize with the mainstream media really trying to like suppress the people, but at the end of the
day, and not just mainstream media. We need to add. We haven't mentioned it, but we need to add in the technocracy, the Googles and the Twitters and the Facebooks of the world. They're in lockstep with the media. They're all anti-Trump. They're all censoring. They seem anti-freedom. They're all on board with pandemic 5.0, the dark winter Joe Biden talked about.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I believe that we're going to come together. When push comes to shove, I was in Manhattan the morning of 9/11. I lived through that experience, and I'll tell you, it was a life-changing event for me to be there and to be around New Yorkers, and I was very young at the time. I didn't know anything about the world, and all I knew was like the stigma of New Yorkers, and they're all, you know, assholes, and they're all selfish people, and they're all just, you know, business people and care about money. And that was my only, like, again, I was very young and just no clue of anything. And so I just had this bias of like, that's what I was going to experience. And literally a week after I moved there, 9/11 happened. And I saw something entirely different, you know, and I know that's a whole nother thing. And I'm not trying to go down a 9/11 rabbit hole. I'm just saying what I saw in the American people and the way they responded to that, like a real emergency, that was real life. Like I was there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that was real. And you know, witnessing the people just lining the streets for blocks and blocks and blocks around that, hoping and praying that they were going to get to see their loved ones, somebody that was in the tower again, and just like buildings just lined for blocks with pictures of the missing who hadn't been found yet, or, you know, hadn't returned home. And it was thousands of people, you know, and it was incredible. And then the spirit of the American people, it didn't matter. None of this mattered. It didn't matter your politics. It didn't matter your sex. It didn't matter your, you know, sexuality. It didn't matter your race, any of that. None of that mattered. And I just, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I just feel like
it's kind of pissing me off, to be honest.
I know.
Because, I mean, everything you're saying is absolutely right. And then the globalists just went and spun that up with a bunch of lies. And they sent men and women, they sent our taxpayers' money
right
off to two different campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. And that corrupt presidential organization pilfered the treasury and pilfered our tax money. And then the globalists saw they got away with that, and we became a tax farm. And we've built up China over decades of buying their cheap little Chinese goods and sending our manufacturers away. I mean, to me, it's all of this, all of that 9/11, all of the Iraq, all of the Afghanistan, everything that's happened through then. Barack Obama expanded those wars. They went and represented the globalists and did regime changes in so many different countries. And it's just maddening, the corruption in what Trump represents that he never gets credit for in the mainstream media, is coming back to sovereignty, getting out of all of these countries, not meddling in their business, not caring about a Ukrainian freaking prosecutor. Why is the president of the United States pressuring a Ukrainian prosecutor to be fired? Because his son is getting money from the gas company that's trying to get contracts because they want Ukraine to be a big gas giant in Europe to thwart Russia. You know, it's like, this global right. game of chess and these central bankers in this system that's been created, and it's all where the American people in this consumer class and our taxpayer farms were an afterthought and were thought secondarily. And Trump has come along and he said, you know what? We need to think about us first. We need to manufacture. We need to make our own money. We need to be a solid country and be that beacon of freedom for the rest of the world. Yeah. We don't need to go in and mess with people's shit. We just need to be a great example
right.
for other countries to see. And we need to respect their sovereignty. That's what's never given, Trump's never given credit for, is the UN speech. If you never heard Trump's UN speech, go back through my podcast. I did a special podcast just talking about Trump's UN speech. It just so happened it was on the same day that the Democrats announced impeachment. So they basically drowned out Trump's UN speech with their impeachment talk. And it was a wonderful speech, and it talked about respecting sovereignty, not just American sovereignty, but the sovereignty of other countries. And just when I see the Joe Biden in this corrupt class that he's been what has he been in government, 47 years, 57 years? Yeah. I don't even know. Okay, he's been there for decades, and he's just going to assume power and give that same bureaucratic class that doesn't give a crap about you or me or about the downtrodden or about anything. They're just, they're on a different plane and they don't come down to our level. And that's what's so sad, is a lot of people don't see that. That's why if you look, all these Democrats in these poor, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, look at their districts. Right. There is human suffering going on. The likes you don't see across the country, but in their districts, Baltimore, this rock star, this Republican that ran in Baltimore, she lost. She lost badly. She got
clobbered.
She got clobbered. Why? I don't know why people keep voting these people in when there are people literally shitting on the streets in San Francisco, and yet they're out there talking about these big global issues. How about you solve what you've got going on in your own district? That's what you're supposed to do. You're a representative of your district. And we need to get back to that, where we have this local connection with our representatives. They don't just go off to be a D or an R or a blue or a red. They go off to represent their localities. But unfortunately, it's the system has become so corrupt, it gets me fired up. And that's why I support Trump, is because he threw a big old grenade in there, the lights came on, and the cockroaches are dancing around. They're scurrying for the corners. I want more of that. Yeah. I don't want to turn the lights off and have a dark winter with sleepy Uncle Joe, who's a great guy, who somehow became a multi-millionaire, made $16 million between 2016 and 2017, or 17 and 18. How'd he do that? Psh, don't know. Hey, on the Bobulinski email, what's 10 for the big guy? What share is Joe Biden getting for his influence? I mean, it's all just so maddening that people need to wake up, and they need to realize that you don't vote with your feelings. You go out there and you find something that you believe in. If you believe in Bernie Sanders and you want to try to spread wealth through the lower classes, you know what? All right, let's have that freaking conversation.
Right.
Because I respect you as a neighbor. Right. But you don't go out there and you read a headline from Yahoo News and you have NPR tell you what a bad guy Trump is, and you vote for a Democrat because you're a good person.
Right.
No. Politics is you have to find your ideology, what you believe in. There's plenty of things that you can believe in within governance. But if you don't, you need to seek that out. You need to seek out information and find out what you believe in. I'm a libertarian. I believe in small government because all I see is corruption. I see these bureaucrats working. You know, I live in a city capital. My common joke that I say when I see all these government workers running around is, you know, do they pay taxes or do I just get a rebate? You know, it's there's truth in that. We don't need all of these bureaucratic structures and all this regulated tape. Donald Trump has kind of proven that. All right, we're an hour and 30 minutes in, Pomo. We didn't have any commercials. We just went cocktail hour. We had the Red Bull Jägermeister going. Is there any more questions or any more topics?
No, I think we're good. I don't know. I don't feel like I don't feel a whole lot better based on the conversation. But I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist, and I'm gonna say that I believe in the American people, and that regardless of what happens, we're gonna come out of this. That people are gonna pull together. That we're not. I saw it once before. I witnessed it firsthand. It was maybe not as macro as the whole country, but it was in one area. And I think that when push comes to shove, that the American people are going to stand up and they're going to do the right thing.
But that was based on a tragedy, right? I don't want another tragedy.
I know, but what you're saying, your whole thing is that if Joe Biden's elected, it is a tragedy. You're that's what you're saying.
Yes. But what I'm saying is I don't think Joe Biden is really being elected. I don't think he stands a chance of getting past
okay.
what to I've got like a beer or a dinner on this with a friend of mine
right.
that he doesn't last. I'm working on the over under of 3 or 5 months, so I'm willing to concede that there is a possibility Joe Biden will become president.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm in some hardened stance that and I'm some Q believer
right.
that you know everything's in control by this secret white hats out there. You know, the same day that Sidney Powell says, I'm going to release the Kraken. Well, the Trump administration has lost a lot of these lawsuits in these states. So, you know, not everything's going according to quote unquote the plan.
Right.
And I don't see the Great Awakening affecting a lot of people. What I'm saying is, I am concerned about the nefarious cockroaches that aren't elected by the people coming to power again once Joe Biden is elected, talking about all the diplomats and all of the people that are in their little thiefdoms within the bureaucracy. And I'm worried about government growing and government, you know, there are bureaucratic overlords, and it terrifies me. They are supposed to be representatives of the people. They are supposed to answer to us.
But if the majority of people, if what we're saying is true, if there's all this corruption, if you know, and I don't want to put a number on it, but if like, okay, here's a quick question. What percentage of the country do you think actually voted for President Trump versus actually voted for Joe Biden? If I just had a gun to your head and you had to say, what's the number? Tell me what you think.
Well, I've talked with my friend about this, and I'm willing to concede that mail-in ballots made it so easy that people that would have never voted, never gone to a poll, never voted, simply just marked it and sent it in, right? It made it a lot easier. I would say Joe Biden got to Hillary Clinton levels. Okay, so that's around 50 million people. I think that there might be 20 million fraudulent votes out there. That's my opinion as the conservative hippie.
That's cool. So what I'm saying is, doesn't it make you feel good?
Here's
though?
What I do know, Pomo.
Uh-huh.
I do know that every one of Donald Trump's votes is legit.
Okay.
Because you can see the mass support for Donald Trump, and you saw them go to the polls physically, hold the line and wait and vote in person, okay? Those votes are so much more legitimate in my mind than these low-information mail-in ballots,
okay? That's great, though.
These ballot-harvested votes.
So that's my point I'm trying to make, is if you've got 70-plus million real, patriotic, passionate people in the country versus, you're saying, at best, 50 million legitimate, with a big percentage of that being purely dispassionate mail-in voting— don't you feel like the country's in good hands with the people? And ultimately, that is where the real power lies. I'm just trying to give you a little optimism, no matter what ends up happening now.
I'm not gonna argue with you, and I thank you for sharing that perspective, because that is if we did have power. But what I'm worried about with this media class and the technocracy and the bureaucracy that's all woven together.
Totally.
I'm worried that the 70 million are going to be made out to be like a bunch of white supremacist kooks that were all bought in. I mean, you see it. I see it in this fire hose of information. They literally refer to me as being bought in on Trump propaganda.
Right.
I watched a video that somebody shared. I had a you want to talk about there was somebody who was on TV the other day, Jake Tapper, I think, that was threatening Trump voters by saying, you don't want employers in the future looking back on how you feel, right? Well, I had a potential candidate that I'm interviewing tomorrow, and I went and looked at his Twitter feed, okay? And there was this huge propaganda. You ever heard of Now This? That it's this kind of this liberal organization, probably has to do with Media Matters, but they put out these very catchy videos, right?
Mm.
And it's a lot like that NPR thing where they basically are saying that anybody who votes for Trump, these Trump believers, are buying in and being gaslit. So they're basically accusing these 70 million of what I see to be true. And in this, they give all kinds of falsehoods that are easily refuted.
Right.
The problem is that I keep trying to do with neighbors and friends and people I see is I try to stay empathetic like you did with that woman that had all her facts screwed up but just knew a bunch of headlines, is I try to have conversations with them that go back to, you know, try to gain some factual basis, right? Mm-hmm. Because what's that quote? That Mark Twain quote, it's easier to fool somebody than to convince them that they have been fooled. And somebody could say that right back to me, but damn it, I've got a lot of facts and tangible evidence that I've dug and found. Generally, the people that I'm talking to are like that woman where they think Russian collusion was all about the impeachment. And they didn't know that Trump actually declassified, and the transcripts of what the basis of what he was impeached on are for anybody to go and see themselves. They don't know. I've seen people that refer to General Flynn as a traitor, even though they don't know that he was talking about expulsions versus sanctions. And that conversation was declassified, and anybody who wants to go see that conversation can go see it. And they don't know that that is never, ever prosecuted because he was the incoming national security advisor. And oh, by the way, the Biden team right now are talking with other foreign dignitaries and doing the same damn thing that they ran General Flynn up on, the FBI, because they're all hiding something that Trump is digging around looking for.
And this goes back to my original question, is like, why is the media like so left? Like, what are they covering? You know, it was so sad. Tonight I never watch mainstream media. I saw this like 5-minute clip, and it was Anderson Cooper talking about the election. And he literally went on and he was like starting to talk about Trump and how Trump can't accept the election. And then he went into this, and it was like, it was literally like watching really bad acting from, you know, like somebody who's just learning to be an actor type of acting. It was pathetic. And he goes in and he starts talking about Trump, and he interrupts himself in the middle of what he's saying. And he goes, you know what? It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Do you know what really matters? 245,000 people have died from coronavirus. That's what really matters right now. Do you see the spike on this graph? I mean, just instilling the fear into the people.
Yeah.
You know, it was sickening to me.
We're going to anoint Joe Biden the president of the United States. Let's get back to COVID coverage.
Right. It was bizarre.
Lockdowns and control. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. I've got to somehow get through these Red Bull jitters and find my way to bed this evening. Thank you so much, Poetic Math. 3 cheers for you.
Oh, you're welcome. The voice, thank you.
The voice of the listener, community members coming in. I enjoyed this. I've never done an addendum to a podcast before. I hope it was beneficial for those of you that want more conservative hippie. There you go. You got a full hour and a half of me just riffing, unbridled, a little bit sauced, letting it loose. I like Poetic Math. I like what you were saying about trusting our neighbors. We're going to be okay. My other friend who called and was worried about me, he likes to point out to me that I'm going to be okay, that I don't need to have so much investment in this, and that, you know, I hope that if you're out there listening, that you're in a good space in your life and that you're doing well, and that you've got some economic means to you, and you've got mobility within your life, and that you're going to be okay too. And you know what? Maybe we'll volunteer more, and maybe we'll get more involved in our local community. And if a good percentage of those 70 million voters go out there and get active, I tell you what, the Republican Party of Washington State really needs some help. They are a sad sack, those Washington State Republicans. Maybe the Libertarian Party needs some help in your particular area. we can all do this together. And regardless of the outcome of this election, I like what you're saying. We do need to come together eventually. But hold the line. It's not over yet.
That's
the
right.
Associated Press does not tell me who the president is. It's the votes and the Electoral College and the electorates in each state that tell me who the president is.
Let's be friends. We're all on this cosmic spaceship together. Subscribe and share the Conservative Hippie Podcast. Visit our sponsors, smokin'jays.com. Everything for your smokin' lifestyle. Stonerhoroscopes.com. Adora Zen dishes cosmic vibes for the stoner at heart. Kickfromthespot.com. Soccer is American.